Good evening, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the first half results 2020-2021 of the Unieuro Group. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in the listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Nico Santi Monterastelli, CEO. Mr. Nico Santi, the floor is yours. Thank you and good evening, everybody. It is with a great pleasure that we are here today to comment on a record-breaking quarter, the second quarter of the half year that we are commenting here today, that brought about the results you see in the presentation. Today we are in a tough market situation because we are amidst the coronavirus situation, and we can't forget this. But what we'd like to recall is that, luckily enough, our sector, industry nowadays is in a favorable market, which led to positive results that were also confirmed by the good performance in September, October, and the first months of November too. It is a company that, as you might have noticed from numbers, it is a healthy, sound business that was able to use the crisis of last spring as some sort of springboard for its business model that did not have any issues. And so this way we were able to tackle and cope with something that was unprecedented and unexpected for everybody. So we are commenting on extraordinary results with rising revenues and EBITDA, record-breaking cash, also thanks to a lot of work that was carried out in terms of the management of inventory in stock. And as I was saying before, a good performance was also reported in the first months, in the early months of this quarter following the first half. So September, October, as I said, performed well, and November is also off to a good start. Of course, as you might imagine, we are all forced to change our daily activities and to adjust them to the decrees coming from the government. So the setup of orange, yellow or red zones, the closure of stores, and for now at weekends, but we can see from today already that this trend tends to involve more and more stores. Today we had a situation whereby more or less half stores were closed during the weekend, whereas luckily enough for the rest of the week on work days, the shops are open. And so positive results of September, but also November. Black Friday has already started, as it is our habit. This way we were able to pull forward some restrictions that we are forced under in these days. There has been a decree today concerning Emilia-Romagna, Veneto and Friuli Venezia Giulia, but we have already started and with great results. We are extremely confident in the fact that we can be serene towards the coming five, 6 weeks before the peak season. On slide number six of the presentation, first of all, we can take a look at the market in the first 6 months. So this market was basically stable with a strong shift and switch to in terms of channel, but this was predictable. And as a whole, the market has brought about a result of minus 0.4. We should not forget that, unfortunately, March and April were months where we, too, had closed stores for about 2 weeks, and many restrictions limiting the access of people to during the weekend, but also on weekdays. So the fact that we were able to catch up in the following months, catch up on everything that we had missed, and it was a lot, especially on some channels, i.e. our direct stores. But anyway, the market caught up and closed at minus 0.4. The very positive thing is that Unieuro, for the umpteenth time, has outperformed the market, +2.1% is our total result. This enabled us to catch up on market shares with an extraordinary result on the online channel that led to a +90%, but also a very relevant result because in offline stores, after a few months where we had a lot of difficulties, the result was -9.6% against a market that lost over 12 points. So, Unieuro, in this too, it was able to really exploit the omnichannel, its omnichannel approach, which is a distinctive feature of our business model. And nowadays, the online moved from a market penetration of 16% a year ago to over 26%. Of course, this trend, as we were saying also in the latest meetings, what has happened in this past 5 to 6 months has accelerated and boosted trends that might have taken place in the coming years. So consumers have changed. 2 million customers are the ones that approached the online world. We were able to capture many of them, but we will see it later on. But I have to say that Unieuro, as shown by the results, can restate its leadership also in the online channel, where apart from Amazon, and we don't have their numbers obviously available, but we think they're quite important numbers. But anyway, Unieuro.it and Moncler has leadership on the online channel as well as in the offline channel. As to the sector, the segments that grew the most is the gray goods, i.e., IT and technology, IT and telephones, wearables, accessories for smartphones, tablets. So this is the fastest growing market. Luckily enough, Unieuro outperformed the market both as a whole and in the online channel. As to white and brown goods, we followed the market. We were penalized because of the closure of stores in March, but now we are gaining ground again in a very relevant way. If we could look at the results today, at the accumulated results in September, October, we would assume that all sectors are on the rise. And for us, this is an extremely positive sign. On page seven, we basically sum up the events, but very quickly, the events in the half year, but you're already familiar with them. The most important thing here is the fact that we have tried to guarantee safety to people and the company and to make our employees and customers live in the best safety possible inside our stores. And this paid off because, as I was saying, we are in a favorable market for us, but the Unieuro's outperformance basically goes to testifies to that. So the good thing about the pandemic, if there is anything good in the pandemic, is that now some trends are have become sort of structural in the following months. So with all our landlords, we renegotiated rents, trying not only to receive discounts for the COVID time in March and April, but also to change contracts with them, trying to shift the fixed part onto a variable part linked to revenues. And this is a result that we are enjoying also in the second half, because we think that this is a structural thing. And also, as structural as that was the fact that we have changed the way of communicating, especially on the press and handout of a physical paper flyer. Of course, the first quarter, in the first quarter, it was forbidden to hand out flyers, and we started communicating through digital flyers. This is now part, integral part of our way of communicating with relevant savings, because we switched these investments from the offline to the online. to the digital tools that are currently used by consumers in order to be informed and to enable our company to communicate any information, product, novelty, and so on and so forth. And this is something that has become a structural and established within our company. Another thing that was the result of the extraordinary cash result, we sped up some processes with the adoption of tools enabling us better control of inventories. Although we can guarantee a high quality of customer service, this enabled us to work with a lower stock than last year, thus giving us more flexibility and more cash available. On page 8, as I was saying at the beginning, our strategy comes out strengthened despite the tragic situation. Because one thing is for sure, the omnichannel approach has become not just a Unieuro strategy, but also a need by consumers. And Unieuro has always flanked consumers in this change, and it has pulled forward many of the investments of the past years. Of course, immediately after the first quarter, where we had suspended some activities on strengthening the stores, we started once again to do what we usually do. So we have internalized the Finiper stores, and so they have become our store, direct stores, and we kept opening new stores. In the second quarter of this first half, we opened new stores. We will open some more towards the end of this month. And most of all, we have tried, in terms of customer experience, we have tried to focus the needs that were coming from the emergency and to react to that with the provision of digital services. On slide 9, you can see these omnichannel services. I won't list them because you know them already. These are all free of charge services that can all be downloaded through our app that were very useful when managing the pandemic in the first quarter. So in March, April, May, we launched them in June, July, and later on. But today, they are an integral part of our offer. And today, since complicated issues are on the horizon, so to speak, on managing the pandemic, all these services nowadays improve the relationship with our consumer. And they the respect for the time of consumers takes center stage, so much so that we have in all our stores the so-called stewards. These stewards basically regulate the access and the traffic in our stores, managing queues, managing those who have booked a slot with a specific segment within our store. So it is someone who is fully available to the clientele to ease and facilitate the traffic of people in full safety. We were the first to broadcast this in the TV in June and July, and today, in a particularly complicated situation, because with the Black Friday, the peak in sales, and the need to manage a new fear that customers are experiencing, well, despite all this, we have gone back to communicating these services too, because I believe that they are part of our brand equity. Then on page 11, as you can see, the numbers are very easy to understand. On slide number 11, we see an EBITDA that is three times tripled, an extraordinary result because we really adopted any possible action in order to protect profitability at a time when safety was first. A cash dynamics that was reversed. We went from 150 million debt to 56 million liquidity cash, thanks to the great effort that was displayed on managing inventories. Revenues, you see it on the slide 12. It is a record-breaking revenues, and these revenues outperformed last year's record revenues. Even in a situation of March and April, what I like to highlight is that the like-for-like sales too ended up at +3.9%, supported by the online too. Then on slide 13, we see the strong recovery of the retail channel in Q1. There had been a loss of 35%, and we closed the first half at -10.6%. And I believe that this goes to show that customers have gradually returned to stores, and they have rewarded, so to speak, the Unieuro stores with revenues that was close to a very limited loss. But then in September, October, it was mostly recovered. Then online, it is, of course, it's needless to say, is still growing, not double-digit yet, still, but sorry, not triple-digit as in the past, but double-digit. Then I say, as I said before, gray, a lot of focus on the gray goods because many Italians had to work or study from home, and this remote work brought about the need to have to provide a useful service also to consumers that needed tools and devices to work and study from home. We expect positive results for last year for Brown too. Brown was currently penalized by the fact that many sporting events were canceled, like the European Football Championship, and the Brown segment is usually affected by that. But next year, with a new switch-off, we expect that this segment to go back to growth in a relevant manner. And now I give the floor to Italo for the financials.
Thank you, Giancarlo. Good evening, everybody. So let's now delve into the economics and financials that were featured in the first half. As Giancarlo was saying, these are record-breaking results for the company and at a difficult, tough time. And starting from the economic performance on slide 14, what you basically see is how the relevant activity that was carried out on cost control, cost reduction, has basically contributed 23 million euros less, fewer costs, and this fully offset the slight drop in the gross profit that is to do with a mix channel and category mix with a switch to the online, not to the gray. Then the result is 22.5 million euros, the adjusted EBIT. As you can see, the only cost item that experienced an increase vis-à-vis last year is logistics, and the increase is naturally and physiologically linked to the staggering growth in volumes of the home deliveries. And then the impact on the adjusted net income is the consequence of that, the improvement of the EBIT is the same as you have on the net income.
because there are no relevant effects on the tax and financial management. Then on slide 15, basically there's a focus on cash flow and net financial position, as well as the balance sheet. What we see here, the first thing that we should remember is that we know that as a trend, the first quarter in the past years is it's a semester with cash absorption. In this case, however, we were able to generate a free cash flow of 28.5 million euros with an absorption of 23 million last year, approximately. And, of course, the underlying this result is, first of all, the operating management of results, the EBITDA, in a clear-cut improvement, and also this is ascribable to the importance management of stocks and inventories, as Giancarlo was saying, because stocks are lower than the previous fiscal year. Then there was a control on investments, on paid investments, because following the uncertainty, we had slowed down the unnecessary or not so necessary investments activities. The net financial position is therefore positive, for 56 million euros. At the beginning, we were around 30 million euros in positive territories, comparing to a net debt last year, August last year, of about 50 million euros. So what you see here is the consequence of the free cash flow, the generated cash flow, and this is ascribable to the fact that this year we did not pay any dividend. And we also slowed down the investments for M&A growth. And now, well, I'd like to spend a minute on our KPIs that we usually deal with. So what you can see here is an important improvement in the NPS in a critical situation, more critical than usual. The pandemic, however, affected the two other parameters, the sales density that is linked to the lower revenues in the brick-and-mortar stores, and also the number of active loyalty cards that dropped slightly vis-à-vis the previous year. But this is also linked to the COVID-19. So I give the floor to Giancarlo again for the going forward. Thank you, Italo. So on slide 18, you basically see some of the activities that we carried out. First of all, we have internalized all the former Finipa stores. This transaction ended within the quarter, so we're talking about 16 stores that were still managed by them, and we converted them to our direct management. This is the final result and outcome of a negotiation that we started with Finipa a couple of years ago that led to this decision, an important one for us because it enables us to have 270 DOS, because that's the amount that we reach thanks to this addition. And we believe that this can drive more efficiency in the whole network because, as you can envisage, we have a lot of synergies across the country that we can exploit. And I believe that the first results of the first weeks of work with the direct management are extremely rewarding because they justify this step that we have made. This step was actually shared by the Finiper Group. And from the beginning to the end, It has been a win-win approach that prevailed both for us and for them. On slide 19, we basically see something that we achieved in a very peculiar area in Italy. As you know, we have always maintained in the past that we were still underperforming and undersized in Sicily and Campania. Sicily is settled, so to speak. We fixed it about a year ago with an important acquisition with one of the most important players in the region. With Campania, we are getting moving here. We have the Avellino store that is performing well and some affiliated stores. We have found an opportunity with a group of Napolitan entrepreneurs. They had four stores and a fifth one about to open, scheduled for the end of November. And this looked like an extremely smart way to penetrate a very, very appealing market. And this was really a market that was at the center, so to speak, of our attention. It is a very specific and peculiar area. So because of that, we thought that the best move was to approach a local player who knows the area, who knows how to handle with it. And I believe that this can be a successful partnership for both for them, for us and for them. They were already present with another name. They decided to give up the other banner and to come and work with us. We just opened the first of four stores, and the fifth is following closely at the end of November. At run rate, we expect about 20 million revenues. I personally think even more than that. Then on slide 20, we basically see a very clear and important event in the governance, the general meeting of December the 17th. We just ended the stock option plan, so we will ask our shareholders to approve a three-year stock grant plan, 900,000 shares tops, 4.5% of the capital. We will finance it either through buyback or free capital increase. Both these points, items are on the agenda of the general meeting. In the case of a buyback, the power we will ask is up to 10% of the share capital. As you can imagine, this is a further way to give back money to our shareholders. Then on page 21, very briefly, so on page 21, we list the long-term drivers that I personally think that can support us competitive success today and tomorrow at a time when the pandemic is raising its ugly head. But I think that we have the experience needed to tackle issues that we experienced last spring, and we have the ability to manage these issues and to react promptly in favor of the consumer. So maybe we should close here, and therefore we can leave more room to for questions. So I'd like to move on to the Q&A session. Thank you. Chorus Call operator speaking. We will now start the Q&A session. Whoever wants to ask a question, press star followed by one on your keypad. In order to exit the booking list or the wait list, press star followed by two. Please ask your questions using the microphone. Whoever wants to ask a question, press star followed by one now. First question from Niccolò Storer, Kepler. Yes, good evening, everybody. I have three questions. One concerns the message that you conveyed on the reduction of stocks. And if I didn't misunderstand, it could be something permanent. So if you can give us a bit more color on that, on the measures you took in order to achieve this important result. Then the second question is on the gross margin. In the second quarter, this parameter improved year-on-year, despite a product and channel mix that would make us think the opposite. So I'd like to know what the drivers were of this good performance. And then last question on the Black Friday. If you can tell us how last year's campaign had been organized, whether it was focusing around the Black Friday or and also what you are thinking of doing this year.
Well, as far as stocks and inventories are concerned and their size, we believe that, well, I think that we can state it and say it for sure, this is really an integral part of the way we work, the way we manage these stocks. As I was saying before, we had made investments that we accelerated. We have a different procurement system. We tend to focus more and be more considerate. We have a completely new operating ways. And of course, our experience, we draw our experience from March and April, where there was a strong reduction in stock because with the stores closed, we could only work with the goods that was available. So we had to be very careful. I have to say that suppliers really met all our requests, and this has been extremely positive to me because it really proved the credibility of our company vis-à-vis the whole industry and suppliers in tough times. So today, we are currently managing the sales, so increase in the first half, and then in September, October, the very same large increase with a much lower inventory stock. We are managing the sales with the lower stocks, and this is a result of specific choices that we made, and it's also the result of a very specific work on every single SKU and category that enabled us to meet the need of customers because we have no stock issues on anything. So the answer is yes, it is a permanent structural way of working, this stock that decreased in a significant manner. Then on to the gross margin. Yes, it improved. There is low promotional pressure on some categories, as I was saying before. The great success enjoyed by the gray goods across the whole semester, but also September, October, and November, has led to a lower promotional pressure on such an important segment for our income statement because the demand sometimes outperformed supply. This way, we could all basically lift our foot from the accelerator pedal to slow down because there was low competitive pressure. And I think that once we overcome this critical time, and we will go back to the same promotional pressure. But as of today, I have to say that the result we enjoyed in the second quarter basically goes to testify precisely this. Then Black Friday, maybe I'll ask Bruna to answer this question. So we did not change that much the approach. We used a different mix in communication, but maybe it is better if Bruna answers this question.
Good evening, everyone. Well, compared to last year's, we have been doing it for years, actually. We anticipate the date, which is the last Friday in November. In this case, faced with a pandemic, it has basically become a Black November, a monthly event, because given the positive trend in sales September, October, and is also pushing into November, we thought that it was better to anticipate as much as possible all these measures. The marketing mix is such that we tend to rebalance expenditure towards digital, and in the month of November is still growing triple digit, but also September, October with a very important pace, double digits. So a few more days vis-a-vis against the promotions last year. I didn't understand that really the double or digit or triple digit. What is it about? It's the online sales, and the marketing expenditure is basically shifting towards the digital. We should remember that it is still a strong choice, the fact of switching the cost of flyers onto the digital side. We actually printed just a few copies because we had the paper in-house before the first lockdown. Thank you. I'd like to remind you, if you want to ask a question, you can press star followed by one on your keypad. For further questions, press star followed by one. Next question. Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Good evening, everyone. I have three questions. The first one, so we were talking before about the fact that the Black Friday is being pulled forward. My curiosity is to understand how you will approach, well, the Black Friday is already well defined, obviously, but what about the Christmas, all about the Christmas holidays? Because if the restrictions are still in place, there will be all the logistics to manage, because people might start shopping ahead. So my question is whether you have a plan to manage the festivities, this extraordinary purchases. The second question has to do with the cash trend. We have a different performance than in the past. Usually, in the last quarters, you are supposed to improve your cash level. So the question is, I'd like to better understand whether this year, too, this cash level that you have reached can further improve, or whether it is reasonable to think that this 56 million is, you know, in a target for the end of the for the full year too. And the third question is to do. I joined a bit later, so in terms of dividend policy, if there are no further worsening of the pandemic, we'd like to know whether the company is ready to restore the dividend policy. So, as far as December and pulling forward the Christmas shopping is concerned, we are, of course, replying today based on today's rules and regulations and decrees. We cannot possibly understand what will happen in the future. But what we can say is that we are currently sort of getting equipped, of course, in a situation like today, that can change next week too, or maybe tomorrow. So we are always waiting for the government decrees or the regional decrees or the municipality decrees, and very often they change the game. But the question on pulling forward Christmas shopping and how we will tackle Christmas, I think that we have tried to pull forward the Black Friday and to extend it as much as possible, extend the number of days available to our customers. We are extending our working hours on some stores where it is possible, especially for in some stores where they closed at lunchtime. We are actually extending working hours over lunch too. But of course, we don't know what will happen in terms of red or green or orange areas, but we are ready to impose an extension of working hours, opening earlier or closing later, so that customers can have more hours available to make the shopping. And on top of that, this decree expires on December the 3rd, and we don't know what will happen between now and then, whether it will be confirmed or changed. We have no visibility on that, but nobody does. What we can do, and what we are still doing, is to expand and extend promotional offers as much as possible. And as Bruna was saying before, with Black Friday, we started at the beginning of November, and these promotions will end beyond the end of the month date, the Black Friday itself, because we believe that today the closure of stores on weekends will focus all shopping and purchases from Monday to Friday. Therefore, we need to extend working hours, opening hours as much as possible. Of course, we are waiting for December the 3rd to understand what will happen in December. We expect a slowdown, but as we were saying also during normal times, I think that stores' working hours, opening hours will be changed based on the customer needs. So I think that the fact that we have anticipated the shopping of November that we did last year too, and that led last year to an extraordinary November and December, this year we of course have more limitations and restrictions, but at the same time we have the opportunity to seize the growth of our market, because today we really are in a sector that is in market favor. Life at home in partial, soft or hard lockdown, we are forced at home more, to we must work and study from home. So all the product categories that we sell, these are all products that are instrumental to improving life at home. So really we are in the favor of the market. We have tailwinds here. And hopefully the red zones and the restrictions, they won't be too much of a hard blow. Because at this moment in time, the results of the past 2 months and November go to testify and to the fact that we are in the right market trend. So we are confident in what will happen in November, but also in December. As for cash, I leave the floor to Italo. And dividend policy, honestly speaking, I have to say that our dividend policy is the one that we already have. We have net income adjusted, 50% of net income adjusted, available for, so we think for our shareholders, we suspended it this year, but as soon as the situation goes back to normal, this is the dividend policy that we can serenely and confidently, comfortably confirm. although, as you know, this is a subject matter for the general meeting to decide on.
Italo, for the cash.
Yes, as to the financial position and the financial performance of the company, well, we now have excellent results behind our back, and these results, on the one hand, were the result of the operating management and also the great work that was done on the stores. Of course, this work on stocks is structural, meaning that it is well established, but it can be replicated. So the results achieved have been achieved, but it cannot possibly be projected in the second half to the very same extent. We have learned to work in a contingency emergency situation, and the suppliers also cooperated in the managing of the working capital because they followed us in renegotiations. So, as you know, we tend to provide no guidance on the future and on the full year, especially at this moment in time with such a high uncertainty. It is very difficult to provide indications on what will happen in terms of cash in the coming months. Well, we have learned the lesson, and your question actually was very precise. Can we consider that net financial position at the end of August as a peak, and then there will necessarily be a decrease? Well, I would say no to that. But, of course, we should not expect in the second half a cash flow that is same as last year. If I can have two follow-up questions. The first one, I see among the adjustments that there's an item amounting to 5 million non-recurring costs. What's that exactly? Well, these are costs that are strictly linked to some requests that we received in the second quarter. For legal matters and labor law issues. So what we are talking about here is three sub-suppliers in their responsibility we're talking about logistics suppliers and the joint liability, so it's warehouse and transportation. These are requests that we have considered, and I think we have adopted a cautious approach in setting aside this 5 million amount. And then we will see how these requests evolve, and these funds will also change accordingly vis-à-vis the initial set-aside. And the last question has to do with September, the fact that September, October performed well, and also the first part of November. The question is, considering the growth trend that we experienced in the first half and the trend that you mentioned during the presentation, so is this a confirmation of what we saw in the first 6 months, just to understand the short-term trend that you described before? Well, as of today, we can actually say that this is a confirmation, because the performance in the second quarter, in that semester, is then matched and mirrored by September and October. So we need to be clear on that. Last week, since last week. We have the half of the stores in these shopping malls closed on weekends. Today we had a board meeting and we are still processing the new restrictions on Emilia-Romagna, Veneto and Friuli, where not just shopping malls were closed, but also medium-sized stores. We will try and understand what the impact of this on our network. But, you see, we have open stores that go beyond that. So Unieuro.it or Monclick, they help us really compensate for that. And the affiliated business, that is also as important because it's never been touched by closures because they are not in shopping malls. They have small stores. And this is comforting, reassuring for us because we are achieving significant results, positive results here. So we will have to understand today's provisions and understand their impact. As of today, well, in Lombardy, it all started in October. Last week, all over Italy, the impact of closures on weekends has been a sustainable impact because, of course, you lose miss revenues on Saturday and Sunday, but then this was recovered during the week. So we will have to be smart, but we have experience on that. We have to be smart on managing the weekdays. They become the most important days of the week because the network is open. So that's why we are adjusting the promotion to these dynamics. The use of digital devices and having given up the physical, so to speak, paper flyer gives us makes us more flexible. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no questions booked for the time being. Very well. If there are no further questions, I'd like to thank all participants for their attention. Hopefully, we could answer all their questions fully, but you know that we are always available through our usual official channels. Thank you very much and enjoy your evening.